Well, here's a question. How do millennials think about gender norms? When do they do gender to meet the expectations others hold for them? My next guest may have the answer based on life history interviews with 116 young adults. Barbara Risman, in her new book, Where the Millennials Will Take Us, A New Generation Wrestles with the Gender Structure, does do some argument and some presentation to us. So here we are, Barbara, on the line from the United Kingdom. Good morning to you, Barbara.
Good morning, Shelley. Glad to be here.
Appreciate that. And specifically inside the walls of a university arena?
Right now, I'm sitting in the Institute for Advanced Studies, which is where I'm this semester at Durham University in the UK.
That's great. Distinguished professor of arts and sciences in the Department of Sociology at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Another hat you wear, certainly other books as well. And here are your interest in the millennials. Why this niche, Barbara?
Because the millennials are our future. They are the young adults of today's world. And so understanding what they're doing, what they're thinking, and how they're wrestling with the gender inequality and gender meanings in their lives will shape the future.
Your book, Where the Millennials Will Take Us, does provide a powerful framework for studying gender and inequality today. So let's get into some of the text. First of all, your premise in finding those to interview, what kind of questions did you ask? Set our framework here, Barbara.
Okay,
yeah.
So in the interviews, we did something. We asked them about their whole lives. We did what's called a life history interview. So we started out with where they grew up, their family relationships, their experiences in high school and any college if they'd had it, their relationships. So we started the interview asking them just about their life experiences. The second half of the interview, we asked them very directly about issues around gender. And we did that by telling them, having them read articles about Swedish kindergartens where the children are not called boys or girls, but just children. There are no pronouns used. We had them read vignettes about a young woman who was harassed in a bathroom for not looking feminine enough. And so we set up a series of questions and vignettes and stories we had them react to so we could try to get underneath just their first reaction to gender, but really see how they felt about it at a deep and very personal way.
So some of the findings, if we can begin here, what was some overwhelming results?
Okay, so the first thing that I think is most important is that it's really clear that when we talk about gender, we have to go far beyond thinking about an identity. Often, when you hear the word gender, you think, what's your identity? And what we found is that identity is only a small piece of what gender means, that everyone has an identity, but people also have beliefs and expectations of how they're supposed to act because they're male or female, and how they expect others to act towards them because of their sex category. And so that, I think, is a really important finding, is that we think about gender in more complicated ways than it's simply what's your identity. That's probably the most important finding. Another finding I think is really interesting is that among the millennials that you might think of as feminists, those who are against sex discrimination, who don't think boys and girls ought to have different rules that they are raised by. In the past, that was a women's movement. In this research, there are men and women who sound just the same when it comes to feminism. And so in that sense, one thing I thought that's really new, interesting, and even a little hopeful is that feminists aren't all women in this generation.
Barbara, the millennials you mentioned you talked to seemed eager to change the world for the better, obviously, current state. Their ideas of how to do that contrast with those of early generations, you say. How so?
at least in this, in my interviews, I have to put it in a historical context. We're done in 2012, 2013. There was a sense very much of an individualism that by changing the way I live my life or even how I use my body, how I present my body, whether I look or masculine or feminine, is going to change the world because I'm part of the world. And so a very kind of really individualist idea of social change, that if I do my life differently, I'm part of changing the world. I don't claim I know that's true in 2017 or 18. I think the politics of the world have really changed since 2013. But in my research, the social change ideas were very much about the self.
Barbara Risman with us. Her book is out, Where the Millennials Will Take Us, A New Generation Wrestles with the Gender Structure. You talk about gender policing. What is this, and how does it affect boys differently than it affects girls?
Absolutely. One thing I thought was very interesting in the interviews is that when you talk about young people with young adults about their childhood, the boys are the ones who tell heart-rending stories about being bullied and harassed and by their peers, not so much parents or teachers, but by peers for doing anything at all that seemed a little bit what they would call girly. And so if they wanted to take ballet classes or wanted to play volleyball instead of football, even if they wanted to crochet, anything that was outside of the stereotype of what a really masculine young man would want to do, they felt very much as if their friends or their peers would make fun of them. And that's what I call gender policing, because what that did was their peers sort of policed them back into more narrow, stereotyped ways of being. One young man told a very sad story about when his first girlfriend broke up with him. He was shattered, and he talked to his friends about how heartbroken he was, and his friends told him he was being wussy. They made fun of him. They called him pussy whipped. Well, the next time he was in a relationship, he was really careful never to show his feelings, even with his girlfriend, not only his male friends, because he'd had such a bad experience simply by being very openly emotional. And so I think that still happens, and it happens, at least in my interviews, almost exclusively to boys, that girls, at least in their childhoods, were not policed or bullied for wanting to do things that boys usually do.
Last question before running out of time. I asked for a final contact. You suggest the time is ripe to take risks. The time is ripe to take risks. Like what?
I think the time is ripe to take risks by going beyond the stereotypes in our personal lives, but also by beginning to think about what we expect from other people and how we organize the laws in our society to make sure that the sex category that you are labeled at birth, doesn't hem you in to a narrow way of life as a woman or a man, that those stereotypes around femininity and masculinity are very dangerous. They do not allow any of us to live full lives as human beings.
Barbara Risman, doing great work, Where the Millennials Will Take Us. Tell us how to find out more information.
You can find the book on Amazon.com or Oxford University Press. You can also find quite a lot of my writing on the topic just by Googling my name. I have an op-ed out in the Seattle Times this week.
even though you do are spending your days in the UK. Be safe. Thank you very much, Barbara Risman, and we'll speak again.